The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm joined in studio by Peter Doyle, chairperson of the Law Society's Family and Child Law Committee, and Cleona Sadlier joins me on the line. She is the executive director of the Rape Crisis Network Ireland, and they are all passing commentary and looking for reform of the Family Courts Bill. This is currently going through the Oireachtas. They all believe, as it stands, the family courts offer inadequate facilities and processes to protect children and couple. They also say it fails to keep survivors of domestic violence safe. The list of NGOs includes Women's Aid, Dublin's Solicitors Bar Association, the Law Society of Ireland, and the Rape Crisis Network. So, welcome to you both to the programme. First of all, Peter, tell us what it says on the tin. What is this Family Courts Bill trying to do?
I suppose, Ivan, it's an important piece of legislation in that, you know, it's to revolutionise our family court system in that we have a specific division for both High Court, Circuit Court and District Court. And it's to improve that system to make it more efficient. And, you know, I suppose we all agree that, you know, to get people into the system quickly, to get them the services that they need and get them out of that system, you know, with those services and move on with their lives is important. And I suppose that's the basic tenure of the bill, to try and do that and make things better for people.
So as I understand it, so we're talking about cases in relation to separation, maybe divorce, custody, access, maintenance, I'm not sure. And then there's this division between the district court, the circuit court, and the senior courts, the higher court. What point of difference? Is it to push more cases into the district? What's it trying to achieve?
And I think that's one of the difficulties that there is with the bill at the moment, is that the bill is going to try to push circuit court divorce cases down into the district court. And I think anyone who has gone through that system over the years will know that the district court deals with very, very important cases such as domestic violence and single issue cases. And what this bill is looking to do is to move bigger, more complex cases which are dealing with, you know, children, pensions, property and all those matters, which can take a day to run, down into the district court to the detriment of what I would say is a court that's already bursting at the seams because it's so busy with those single issue cases. They're really important cases, and they're often people who are the most vulnerable and who have the least resources. So therefore, to push cases down into from the circuit court down into the district court will have a detrimental effect on those people who are...
Well, there's two issues that people are dissatisfied with the court's process. One is how slow it is, the delays, and the other is cost.
Yes.
Maybe it might be quicker and cheaper to do things in the district court, no?
It won't be quicker because the circuit court is already set up to deal with such as somebody who's being uncooperative in a case. There are processes that can be used financially for people to find out what the other person has or doesn't have, and also to make decisions as to what should happen in relation to, you know, is there a necessity for a report for a child? On the issue of cost, no matter what court a case is in, there is a certain amount of work that has to be done depending on what those issues are. So I would suggest to you that it's not going to make a difference. All cases take a certain amount of time to be dealt with, and I know how long a case will take, so I know what it's going to cost to deal with it. So I would say to you, the cost argument really doesn't stack up in this instance.
Cleona Sadlier, thank you for joining us on the programme representing the Rape Crisis Network Ireland. What's your perspective on the legislation?
So we welcome the legislation. It's hugely overdue. This is, for us, a neglected part of the law for a very long time, mostly because it you know, you only know what happens in this area of law if you're the person in the courtroom. It is protected by in camera. So by and large, we don't have, if you like, that public scrutiny on it that is happening across all the other areas of law. So it's sat there kind of, you know, just ticking over. And what we're getting in domestic and sexual violence services across the country are essentially people telling us anecdotes, and you know, they're frankly appalling, the anecdotes coming out of it. So when we look at the system as a whole, what we're really looking at is there's a complex set of things that need addressing. This bill is part of that solution. This bill tries to pull together all of the pieces of law. It's amending a huge amount of law that's already standing to really streamline and bring everything together. However, we do want more, and we do want some amendments. And some of that is really about recognising the particulars of domestic and sexual violence in family law, because it's not the same as a straightforward, if you like, if I can use that term, straightforward divorce. I'm sure nothing is ever straightforward there. But the, you know, if you have the elements of violence, coercive control, and domestic and sexual violence, of the adult as well as of the children, then you really need to think very differently about how you conduct that case.
So I see that you're saying that the system fails to keep survivors of domestic violence safe. How so? Mm-hmm.
So if a lot of the time the domestic violence is not, and indeed allegations of sexual violence are not necessarily visible at various points in these processes, and as Peter was saying there, you have single issue, and then you have more complex pieces. So you've got it all parsed up and divided up, and you'll have people going through the system multiple times, and over the years they'll be brought back over and over again by their ex-partners around custody, around access, and you know, there's something about in terms of domestic and sexual violence, you've got to keep that visible, and that's got to be part of that consideration and conversation in those cases, because otherwise what we're seeing is that the system is being utilised by abusers to continue their coercive control of their victims, and that's unacceptable. And we really have seen judges unable to, under the law, control that process, whereby the rules of the court, if you like, are being utilised in this abusive manner. So one of the things that we're looking at here is delay, and the other thing, so the specifics we're asking for in this amendment is that we specifically talk. There's one of the things that is proposed is the mediation process, the alternative dispute resolution process. And that is utterly just, we can't go there at all in terms of domestic and sexual violence. That's one of the ways that, if you like, coercive control can continue through into the formal processes. So it is recognised in the bill that there are some cases that are not appropriate for alternative dispute resolution. What we are asking for is that specifically names and explicitly names domestic and sexual violence, as if there is indication of that in the case, then alternative dispute resolution will not even be suggested.
Peter, could you respond to that issue specifically where there is domestic violence and sexual abuse?
I think I would totally agree with Cleona in relation to, you know, alternative dispute resolution, and also in relation to the facilities and the services. People who are going through, you know, domestic violence applications are the most vulnerable individuals, and they need protection. Sometimes, you know, mediation can be used as a delaying tactic in some cases, and particularly where one person has, there's an imbalance of power between the parties. So it's not appropriate in cases such as that. Facilities and services, as Cleona has said, you know, and I can give examples. I deal with the district court on a regular basis. I would often be taking instructions from clients in relation to domestic violence cases, and they'll say to me, but he's looking at me. He's eyeing me up. There aren't sufficient rooms for me to be able to take instructions comfortably from the client. Those things need to be in the bill very clearly, in the guiding principles, which I was thinking about this. I would call this a checklist of what's necessary in family law cases. And one of those things is that there's a dignity element to it, and that people are able to get through this process with some dignity and without being re-traumatised by the system itself after having
And just in the context of mediation, can a victim say, no, I don't want to go to alternative dispute resolution, I don't want to go to mediation? Like, are they being, it seems like it's almost coercive they've been forced into it. Explain that.
Well, no, I wouldn't necessarily say that, but I would agree with Cleona. You know, it's the bill states, if appropriate, it needs to go further. It needs to be very explicit, and it needs to say that there are certain cases where it is not appropriate. And then the victim is able to refer to that to them, you know,
and
or
is
their
that
lawyers.
Not the law at the moment?
Well, it is to an extent, but what we're saying is that the bill should go that little bit further to give that little bit of comfort, I suppose.
The other point is that when you describe situations of rooms and so on, and I was reading through this, it seems to me a question of resource allocation rather than primary legislation, surely?
Part of it is resources, but I would come back to the issue of the circuit and the district court. You can throw as much resources at the issue of the circuit court and the district court dealing with divorce cases, but the district court is not equipped to deal with those complex cases. So you can put as much resources as you like into it. But I have to say, I think most of our group who, remember, are non-lawyers, that they are at the coalface, and they see that no matter how much resources you put into it, it's not going to make the system better. In fact, we think it'll make the system worse.
Leona, what's your take on and experience in relation to the difference of treatment of cases if they're taken in the circuit court or the district court?
Can I come back on just one of the points there? Because I think we'd say it's even stronger, because, you know, that piece about making it explicit that domestic and sexual violence isn't appropriate for ADR. This isn't about comfort at all. It isn't about reassurance. I don't know any survivor I've ever spoken to of this system. Every single one of them have said that this question of cooperation and being seen to be cooperative is a key factor, a key dynamic here. And that's partly because of the pressure on the system. Everyone wants to get an agreement through at some point. So you want to demonstrate cooperation. You want to demonstrate that you're a cooperative party. If you're experiencing domestic violence, you will often look uncooperative because you're trying to protect your children and yourself. So there is a pressure. If there is an option of mediation that you're not taking up and that you're saying no to, you immediately look uncooperative, and that works against you. So there's that. It's enormous pressure, and it plays a really strong part in the whole process for us in terms of the people going through these cases. So we would say this isn't a token gesture at all in any way, shape or form, or a comfort. It's absolutely essential that we name it explicitly that ADR will not be considered in these cases at all. It's simply not on the table.
And I think, Ivan, to be clear, I would agree with Cleona on that.
OK, just there's a report here from the Department of Justice in relation to assessors. And these, I think, can be people who do reports in relation to expert reports in relation to cases. They can be social workers, psychologists, that apparently there's been a review of the expert reports in family law processes, and it is found that assessors do not have adequate training or accreditation to properly assess family violence. What is this report about?
I think this is an area it's good that there has been a report on this, because I think this is somewhat of a grey area at the moment in the courts, and it needs to be regulated so that practitioners, the parties involved, are all clear on who assessors are and the qualifications that those people might have. So I would say to you that report is welcomed, and I think it needs to be moved on further so that there is a regulation of that area, so that people dealing with domestic violence and children involved in cases of domestic violence are well protected and their voices are heard in family law cases.
Finally, what stage is it at? I mean, because I'm looking at that after the budget, the Dáil is going to be dissolved. Will this be a matter for the next Dáil, or is it at a very final stage? The Dáil recess the 11th of July. What stage is it at in the Dáil?
Well, I suppose I'm the wrong person to ask that of, but the basis we're going on is that this is a bill that's going through the Dáil. As you said, it's in the Senate at the moment, and look, we want the minister to hear from us and hear from these NGOs who are the people at the coalface, and I think there's great merit in listening to them. Even if this bill doesn't go through for a number of months, it's still there is great merit in listening to those that are at the coalface and who have no, you know, who are representing people who are going through this every day of the week.
Okay, Cleona, finally, do you have a helpline, people in distress in these circumstances, whereby they can get hold of the Rape Crisis Network Ireland or anybody else?
Well, absolutely. The and I would say Minister McEntee has been very proactive around domestic and sexual violence. So this will be a bill, I'm sure, that she will be eager to see, you know, amended and moved on and completed if possible. In the term of this government, the in terms of phone numbers, the 24-hour rape crisis helpline is 1-800-77-888, and the 24-hour domestic violence helpline for those experiencing coercive control and looking for that support is run by Women's Aid. And I have to tell you, I don't have the number off the top of my head right now. So that's right. A Google for me.
Go on the website. All right. Yeah. My thanks to Cleona Sadlier, Executive Director of the Rape Crisis Network Ireland, and joining me in studio all the way from Blessington, Peter Doyle, Chairperson of the Law Society Family and Child Law Committee. Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.